Welcome to What Would Rob Do? A Guide to Life's Daily Predicaments. I'm Rob Sachs, and today we're going to talk about talking to strangers and having conversations with strangers. To help me figure this out, I'm joined by Gretchen Rubin. She's the writer behind The Happiness Project, a blog which is all about living a happier life. She joins me now from New York. Gretchen, welcome.
Hello.
So, Gretchen, you have been looking at this whole thing about conversing with strangers. Mm-hmm. And the first question, I guess, is why? Why would you want to talk to a stranger in the first place? I thought we're not supposed to talk to strangers.
Well, there's a lot of occasions where it's nice to talk to strangers. You're in a long line and you've got to pass the time in some way, or you're at a cocktail party and you don't know a single soul there and you're feeling like an idiot standing beside the hors d'oeuvre table. From the happiness perspective, people generally are made happier. They get a mood boost when they engage with somebody. Sometimes when you're feeling blue is the last time you feel like making conversation with a stranger. But if you can reach out and have a little bit of contact with somebody, you're going to make yourself feel better.
So you just described two scenarios. One is you're waiting online and you're bored. The other is you're at a cocktail party. And this is pretty distinct because at the cocktail party, I guess there's already a set group that whoever invited you to the party, you know they're not a complete stranger. You have something in common with them. Whereas someone in line, maybe at the post office, all you have in common is that you both like to mail letters or something like that, right? So
yeah.
How do you approach maybe that other person who you may not have anything to say with other than how's the weather or something like that? How do you engage in that conversation?
Well, I mean, the weather, it's an old chestnut, but it works because one of the best places to start is to comment on something that you both have in common. So it's tax time. So you're like, oh, wow, we both left it to the last minute. Or you talk about the room, or you talk about something that's going on that you're both aware of, because that way you have something to actually exchange views about. But one thing is that it's better to keep it positive. Studies show that our first impressions of people are very sticky, and we tend to make very quick decisions about what we think of somebody. So at the beginning, you really want to come on nice and positive, unless you can be hilariously funny. Because if you really come in negative, then sometimes people will be put off by that, and it'll put a damper on things.
You wrote about something called trait transfer. Is that
it? Oh, yes.
And so what is this trait transfer thing, and how does it work into starting these initial conversations with someone you don't know?
Well, trait transfer is very fascinating. It turns out that our minds are not that good at making distinctions. And so if you, Rob, are describing someone to me and you're like, oh my gosh, that guy is so brilliant, in a way, I associate you with this concept of someone being brilliant. And so it sticks to you. It transfers onto you. But if you're like, oh my gosh, that person is such a loser, that kind of sticks to you too, even if I already know you. And so with trait transfer, it just suggests that we should all be nice when we talk about people behind their backs, because part of what we say is going to influence the way people perceive us.
And when you're at a cocktail party, like we mentioned, you already have that thing in common. You're both there for a particular reason. What then is a good way to start in and on a good opener?
A question that I think is really helpful that I've been using a lot is, what's keeping you busy these days? Because the thing about that is people can take it in any direction that they want. They can talk about a hobby. They can talk about work. They can talk about their kids. It just very much opens it up for them to talk about what's important to them. And it seems like a lot of people really have strong feelings about things they don't like to be asked about. Like, some people hate it when somebody asks them, what do they do for a living? And then some people really don't like it when people ask them about if they have children. And these are innocent attempts to make polite conversation, but they rub people the wrong way. So I think what's keeping you busy is about as wide-ranging as possible, but it's pointed enough that gives you something to work with. It's not just like, you know, where are you from, which is kind of sometimes hard to follow up on.
Yeah, I like that because it's pretty innocuous. I mean, no one's going to be offended by that. I'm not a busy person, you know. You're not going to hear that.
Right, or they're just saying like, oh, I've really been taking it easy these days. Well, then that's you can have a conversation about that right there. So, yeah.
And you were saying some of the things, you know, smile, be engaged, be good humored. But you also, I guess, want to watch out for being in interviewing mode too. I guess you want to strike a balance with sharing and asking, right?
Yes, because I think some people really believe, they've become convinced that the way to show interest is to ask people questions, but you sort of you have to give something back for people to feel like you're really engaging with them. So you have to find that way to have a conversation where both people are contributing. One thing that I think is interesting is interrupting. For a long time, I thought it was really bad for people to interrupt. But then I realized, actually, in a good conversation, people interrupt each other a lot. And that it can be a real sign that somebody's interested if they're saying things like, wait, what does that mean?
Or, yeah, things are going really well, right?
Yeah. And so, yeah, right. There you go. See? What was that you were saying? So it's, you want to show that engagement. You want to show that you're really listening.
So now that you've been looking at all these ways of engaging with strangers, is it more now that you feel like you have more tools to talk to someone, or are you just more cool with the fact that you've decided, you know what, I'm not someone who likes to talk to strangers. I know that about myself, and I'm going to keep quiet and move on.
Well, with strangers, like people that I interact with, you know, when I'm going to the drugstore, I'm much more like, I want to be pleasant, but I don't feel like, I'm not going to put pressure on myself to be friendly because I feel like that's too much of a stretch for my nature. But I make a little bit of effort to put some energy into it to say like, thanks a lot, or, you know, to make it a little bit nicer than just very cursory, because that makes it, your day just much more pleasant. But what, for me, the difference is I feel like I'm much better armed at something like an event where, like you were saying before, it's a little bit pre-screened. We're there for some reason. We have something in common. But I need to make conversation with somebody that I don't know anything about. And I feel like now having some tools or some ways to think about approaching that person, you can get through that initial awkwardness much faster if you can bypass some of the one-sentence question and answer sessions that can sometimes seem to drag on for half an hour where people are trying to be polite, but you just can't seem to find anything that you can talk about together.
Hmm. Those things happen to me, and then I have to give my wife the signal, like, hey, help me.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. You got to have the invisible spouse signal going. That's true.
For more on this, for more on how to talk with people you might not know, or strangers or acquaintances that you want to know better, I guess we can check out your blog, The Happiness Project.
Yep.
And for more on how to get out of other situations, you can always check out the What Would Rob Do Facebook page or other What Would Rob Do podcasts. You can check those out on iTunes. You've been listening to What Would Rob Do? A Guide to Life's Daily Predicaments. I'm Rob Sachs, speaking with Gretchen Rubin. Gretchen, thank you so much.
Thank you. Great to meet you, Rob.
Good meeting you too, Gretchen. We'll have to stay in touch.
Yeah.